desire your attention today, and as always, your prayers. I'd like to write the title of the message on the board today. I've written on the board, the fear of the Lord. Last Sunday, we reflected on the reality of how that too often people in life believe that they already have what they need in the way of wisdom regarding life's decisions. And as a result of that, pass on by as wisdom cries out to be heard and followed. We read in Proverbs, the first chapter and the 20th verse, and maybe I will quickly read that as a reminder. It said, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse and the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" In other words, how long will you continue to live in a way that is absent wisdom? "And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you." What a wonderful opportunity. "I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, wisdom, but no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." We read that last Sunday and talked about it a little bit. Also shared the saying that says that many a man would have attained knowledge had he not assumed that he already had it. And how that the same applies with wisdom. Many a man would have been able to have godly wisdom, because after all, wisdom, as has been personified here, stands where all people pass in the city, crieth out to be heard and to be received. And many a man would have received wisdom had he not assumed that he already had it. Last Sunday we also read the account in Genesis of where Eve partook of the forbidden fruit. And the thing that struck me, I guess, last Sunday and the week leading up to the message was that Eve spent her time with the serpent talking about and debating the consequences of eating it anyway. You remember that? As opposed to the fact that God said, don't do it. That should have stopped the discussion in the very beginning. They really didn't need to go any further. But they skipped over the fact that it was God that said, you can have all of these things in the garden. The Lord had so bountifully supplied for them and said, you can eat all of these things, partake of this good that I've created, but that one thing over here, don't eat of that tree. And yet, that was the very tree that Eve was tempted with. And instead of saying, you know, God, the Creator, He said not to do it, and so I'm not going to do it. But no, they began to, with their own knowledge, with their own understanding, in their own way, she began to listen to the influence of the tempter, of something that she was drawn towards. And because she believed in her own knowledge and believed a lie from the enemy, that actually all will turn out well by going the way that seems good to the eyes, it ended not very well, didn't it? And it is a mistake that so many people make today. The masses pass by in the street or in life. And wisdom cries out to be heard, that we might receive life, that we might have life, that we might be spared. And yet people pass on. And they make decisions that aren't so much based on the word of the Lord, but according to those things that they are drawn to and tempted with. And in so doing, they make decisions that result in heartache. Too often, separation from God. And we ended last Sunday in Psalms, the 111th chapter, the 10th verse, and that's where I'd like to pick up again this morning. Psalms 111 and 10, it's a short verse. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." In the 28th chapter of Job, in the 28th verse, it says something similar. It said that the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and they that depart from evil is understanding. So that's similar. Do you want wisdom today? Does anybody here want to live life absent wisdom and face life void of wisdom? Do you desire this morning the Lord to be your shepherd? Do you desire the Lord to accompany you through life? And I want to insert this note, that all of us that are here today have lived void of wisdom, of real wisdom. All of us here have made choices and made decisions that were not godly decisions. All of us here today have been in a place where probably we walked down the street and wisdom was there to cry out to us and we passed on by. All of us. But the hope of the gospel, the hope of the gospel is that the Lord yet cries out with an invitation of whosoever will can come. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever looks like is out ahead, the Lord beckons us all to come and allow Him to be our shepherd and guide us through life. I want Him to go with me. I don't want to go through life without Him. And the fear of the Lord is where it starts. There's no exceptions. There's no variations. The fear of the Lord is the principal ingredient of wisdom. And without it, people pass on like the simple and end up in trouble without a Lord to accompany them. And so I'd like to give consideration now this morning to this verse and what the different parts of the verse mean, and we won't get to all of it this morning, and then eventually try to put it together and package it up that we might be able to understand how to practically apply it in life. And this morning the focus is on the fear of the Lord, because that's how the verse starts. The verse starts by saying the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does the fear of the Lord mean to you today? It would be interesting if we took a big hat and passed it around and had everybody write what the fear of the Lord means to them. And then read what the fear of the Lord means to you. What does the fear of the Lord mean in this context? Does it mean Yes, I believe that there is a God. And He is a God with a great flaming sword. And He is out looking for every person that He can find that has messed up and is doing wrong so that He can whack them off and send them into outer darkness where there is everlasting fire and gnashing of teeth. And the fear of the Lord is that God is quick to destroy. And the fear of the Lord is He's a pretty big God and He's a pretty scary God. And I hope that I'm right. I hope He doesn't think too bad of me because I know He's going to be my judge and I want to end up okay. Is that what the fear of the Lord means in this verse? That's not what the fear of the Lord means in the context of this verse. And yet I'm afraid. I'm afraid that too often we grow up hearing maybe too much, maybe I shouldn't say too much, but we hear about the judgment of the Lord. And we focus more on the judgment of God than we focus on what He really desires for you in life. Is the judgment of God real? Yes. And we preach about the judgment of God. I believe in the judgment of God. There is going to come a time when I'm not going to have a choice anymore to heed to the cry of wisdom on the street corner. There's going to come a time where my opportunity is passed to listen to the call of the Lord to come. And when that time comes, and if I haven't listened to that voice, there is a separation that's going to happen. And I don't want to have anything to do with that separation because the Scriptures tell me that God is good and He's love and He's light and all things that are good cometh from the Father and cometh down from the Father of lights. And I don't want to be separated from that at the judgment. There is going to come a time where there is going to be a balance of truth. And as Belshazzar was judged, truth will be on one side and our lives will be on the other. And how will the balance end up? Will we be in balance with truth? Will Jesus Christ step on to our side with us and hold our hand to cover for those places we can't cover ourselves? Or will we have gone through life not living according to what we know to live by? And hear those dreadful words, thou hast been weighed in the balance and found wanting. We don't have to do that. That does not have to be our end. But here's my message this morning. We've heard those messages. We know that reality. But I want to say this morning, I want to impress by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on your hearts and your minds that the Lord wants us to get a hold of the fact that He desires to be your Father. In this life, He desires good things for you. God desires to be your shepherd. The Lord, God in heaven, desires to forgive you of your sins. God desires to pick up the loads that you're not able to pick up. God desires you to have peace and joy in your heart. God desires for you to be able to lay down on your bed at night and put your head on your pillow and be at peace. The Lord desires you to have an experience of salvation where you don't live with a scared fear of God in your heart. The Lord wants you to be able to trust Him. He wants you to be able to have an experience with Him where life has joy associated with it because He goes with you. But if we miss that part, and that part of God has not, and the desire of God to be your heavenly Father and to go with you through life hasn't been internalized. And when you think of God, all you think about is a sword and fire and judgment and being scared. And that's all there is about God. We can have such a warped and twisted sense of who God is and what He wants for us. And it will affect the way that we live our lives. If I live my life every day believing that God is there and He has His sword raised and He's ready to cut me off, and if I don't do this and this and this, and I've got to pay attention to a list that is bigger than what my mind can take in, if I err a little bit, I'll be cut off and He won't be pleased with me and He'll send me to the corner and He'll depart from me, and it's just kind of dark, but if I don't do what's right, then I've got a hell waiting for me, and pretty soon there's no joy in living for God anymore because He takes it away, and yet we feel like we've got to live that way or otherwise we're just going to be lost. You with me today? You been there? Did you know that's how the enemy would like you to view God? If we think that way, it will affect the way we live our Christian life. And you know what else it will affect? It will affect the way that we work with other people. There may be those that come in among us. There may be those that are searching and seeking for right and truth and have a desire to, there's something in their hearts that's drawing out to the Lord, but they may be living their lives maybe not what all God wants them to be yet, because that's who God calls as the unrighteous. And so people can come in, and if the people of God, if our perspective and our view of God is tilted so far to the judgment of God, and we miss God the Father and the Father of love, we can find ourselves in a position where we are endeavoring to drive people to right and to truth. Drive them rather than draw them with the love and care of Christ. I don't want to be in that place. On either side of it, we can live our Christian lives with a scared fear rather than live our Christian lives with joy. You still with me? Does this register with you in your lives? Jesus draws. He doesn't drive. The Lord draws people with love. He doesn't come trying to see how many people He can keep out of heaven. Jesus Christ comes to see how many people He can gather to come and be able to be part of the family of God. He never meant for the fear of the Lord to just mean a scared fear as we endeavor to be disciples of Jesus Christ. He intended for us to have peace and joy where love casteth out all fear. 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casteth out all fear. And so what does having the fear of the Lord mean in this sense, where it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? What does it mean? This means that we have the highest respect for God and who He is. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord means, Lord God, I recognize You as, You're the Creator. I'm the created. Lord, I respect You. I honor You. Lord, I stand in awe of what You are. There's a verse in Psalms 33 and 8. It said, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. So much so that we believe into what He is, who He is, what He came to bring us, that we have that kind of fear, that we're willing, Lord, here am I. Lord, count me in. Lord, I believe in You. Lord, I respect You. I honor You. Lord, I give myself to You in a way that we're willing to follow Him. And yes, it goes beyond, well, I believe there's a God and I believe that I should live for Him, but I'm not quite ready yet, but I know I should, and someday I will. That's not the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is rather having a love and an honor and a respect so much that it causes us to be willing to leave our nets of self-will, to be able to be willing to turn away from those things that draw on our eyes and our ears and our minds and our mouths and our members that the Lord has given to us, and that we're willing to lay them down and say, Lord, I want to be used for Your kingdom. Lord, will You choose me to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ? Lord, I want to be a representative of who You are. Lord, I want to follow You in life. Lord, would You lead and guide me? Lord, there's things in life that as I pass by, I'm drawn to it, but I don't know if it's right. And Lord, I want You to help me to know, should I turn right or should I turn left? Or should I continue to go straight? And Lord, there are things that I'm drawn to that I know I shouldn't be drawn to. And Lord, I believe in who You are and that You're God and that You're worthy to be served. And Lord, I want to be one of Your people and I need help. When I see things that draw me in a way that I know is not right, Lord, would You hold my hand? Lord, would You help me when I don't feel like I can help myself? That's the fear of the Lord. Where we serve Him with love and happiness and trust, knowing that it is He that is God, He's the one that made us, not we ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. He is worthy, and He's worthy to live for. He's worthy to die for. He's worthy to give up our affections in place of His call. And Lord, I want You to be my shepherd. I want You to lead and guide me in life. And yes, Lord, I know that there's a judgment and that eternity follows judgment. And so, yes, it's serious. But this in total is the fear of the Lord that this verse is talking about. Do you see the difference between that and living with the fear of the Lord that only involves this foreboding and this life where we are ill at ease, even in our Christian experience, because we never can quite have the joy of the Lord in our hearts because we're always afraid that the Lord is going to cast us off for some reason. Too many people live with that in their Christian lives. I want to expose the enemy this morning. The enemy steals the joy of the Lord out of our lives because he causes us to falsely believe and buy into this thought that God is more a God of judgment and separation than he is a God of love, desiring inclusion. The fear of the Lord is recognizing that he is a God of love, that God is love. And that he doesn't want us to be separated at a very real judgment. But we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is that when wisdom cries, that we respond. That when the Lord calls our names, and when the Lord comes by and he speaks to our heart, calls us by name and he says, come, follow me. I want to do something for you that regardless of where we are at in life, that we understand that it's never too late. Again, that's the hope of the gospel. It's never too late to stop and to turn and to say, Lord, I want to live with the fear of the Lord. I want to give you my life. I want to give you my heart. Lord, I want to feel your love. Lord, I want to feel your peace. Lord, I want to feel your joy. That not only might I be saved, but that I might be able to take the hope of the gospel to those that are around me. I am drawn to such a God that I can call Father, aren't you? This morning, let's rise up in our spirits and in our hearts and in our minds and say, Lord, count me in. Lord, I want to be one of yours. I want to be one of your people. There is still opportunity for every one of us today to have a peace that passes all understanding that maybe we haven't experienced before. The Lord calls us to have the fear of the Lord. So this morning, yes indeed, I want to have and I want to live in the fear of the Lord. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.